Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 17. This is the fifth part of Language Arts. Now we're going to talk about grammar in Grade 7. First of all, you will see below that there are several lectures on the triad of tenses, as well as on the mood of the verb. And in this latter, we go into the subjunctive. These are all from the Grade 6 conference. Some of you may have heard it last year. Some of you, of course, may be new. But I would say that it bears review for those of you who have heard the lectures before. And for those who have not, please do listen to them, because it's very likely that you haven't worked much, if at all, with the subjunctive, and you haven't gone deeply into the perfect tenses. These are very connected with the astral life of the sixth grader, and the seventh grader, and the eighth grader. Sixth grade is an ideal time to work with them, but you certainly want to continue working with them to make sure that they live very much in the hearts and souls of the seventh graders, and that they're able to really apply them in their writing. And they will all come in very handy in their work with wish, wonder, and surprise, of which you will be hearing as well. So that is, for some, review, for others, new material, but for all of you, I would say, keep that alive, and particularly the disappearing subjunctive, and to a great degree, the disappearing perfect tenses. We are speaking in a more and more simple, almost primitive way, a little bit akin to George Orwell's world of 1984, or what one reads in many a dysfunctional fantasy. And you see how writers understand when speech degenerates, so do human beings. So that's the last thing that seventh graders need to be doing. We're hoping they're regenerating and going forward in their life. But in this lecture, I want to speak about another aspect of grammar, which is probably at first going to bring a bit of a smile to you when I describe what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about words that grammarians describe. You may not necessarily have heard them described in this way as connectives. You know them well as prepositions, conjunctions, and adverbs. And I say this will bring a smile to you because you're thinking, wait a second, didn't we do that in grade 4 or grade 5? Isn't that something that the students already know well? Yes. So on the one hand, absolutely, of course, every year we begin as though grammar had never been taught and certainly never learned before. We do go back to the basics. We parse sentences. We no longer have to use red for verbs and green for nouns or whatever, but certainly you just keep practicing grammar. Like math, it's something that is living in the etheric. It's there to be retrieved, but it needs constant practice. It needs to be reawakened again and again. And I can guarantee you that even with all of that, when your students go into ninth grade and the English teacher begins to say things like, "Has anyone ever heard of a verb?" they will say, in all honesty and sincerity, "No, we never learned that." But you will know they learned it. You might want to, in fact, record classes just to prove to your English teacher colleague in the high school that you did it. So, nonetheless, we're going to talk right now about connectives. Why? Because this is the year, seventh grade, and it flows into eighth grade as well, in which relationship is everything. Not only are the students going through their inner struggles as they try to make sense of the astral body and the change it has wrought and the chaos it is wreaking upon their soul life, their bodily life, their life of habit, their life of sleep. Okay, they're dealing with all of that in a very solipsistic, inwardly directed way. On the other hand, however, they are reaching out to others. You know, that the girls who've developed faster are reaching out to other girls like that who understand what they're going through. The boys who are taller are looking for the other tall boys to whom they can reach out. And those who are seemingly lagging behind physically, not quite catching up yet, they too have to form their group. So it's not cliques, although it can go that way. It's not in-groups and out-groups, and it can go that way as well. But you want to foster healthy relationships. This is also the year where the crush can occur, where a boy is drawn to a girl is drawn to a boy. And it often has less to do with physical attraction, certainly a whole lot less than Freud would have hypothesized, and a lot more to do with the recognition, I need to find my complement. I need to find the connection that will make me whole, because I am not whole in and of myself. I always like to say that the astral body, even at its fullest incorporation period, never incorporates more than 50% in the human being. Half of our astral body is outside of us. And as E.M. Forster said, only connect. Connect to others, and you will find yourself as a whole being. So what an appropriate time to go back again and take another look, and for some, maybe a first look, at those words that connect. So let's see what I mean by this. Let's start with prepositions. And this is, we know, not easy. Prepositions sort of have their own life in our language. Rene Carrido, a multilingual grand teacher of Waldorf education in the 20th century, he spoke so wonderfully about how prepositions are the soul of the language. They're the hardest thing to learn as you go from one language to another. And even the most skilled English as a foreign language speakers are often stumped by prepositions, as are native speakers as well. They're a challenge because their use is various. You know, it depends on the word that they're accompanying. For example, it's not easy to remember that the noun discussion, for example, is followed by the preposition about. We had a discussion, okay. Go on, say more. Well, the discussion was about the fourth graders. So discussion has to be followed by about. But the verb to discuss does not require a preposition. We discussed fourth graders. Okay, so that throws non-English speakers off. Or, for example, we have the noun request. It's always followed by a preposition, the preposition for. We put in a request for a few new kickballs for the class. But the verb request, again, needs no preposition. We requested kickballs. When we speak especially of prepositions indicating direction, very, very tricky from language to language. Why do we get on a bus, we get on a train, and yet we get in a car, we get into a car? We are on a team. We're on a committee. But we are in a group. So the logic, the consistency, is simply not there with prepositions. And in that respect, they really keep us awake. You know, they give us a sense. I mean, think, I serve on that committee. I'm on the team. I made it on the team. But I'm in a group. My friends and I are in a group. You feel a greater degree of intimacy when the preposition in is brought, whereas on suggests more formality, a more professional relationship, but not that intimate sense. So in that respect, there are these wonderful nuances of the soul, and this can flow into the wish, wonder, surprise, creative writing as well. And what happens is people develop a kind of ear, a sense of hearing for prepositions, and these can be helpful in guiding them. And we also know, of course, the great difficulty of prepositional phrases, that they take objects and something that so often throws people off, especially with I and me, and can be a sign, really, of education, a sign of true literacy, to be able to just know those prepositional phrases and the kinds of objects or objective case that they require in a noun. So let's look at a few examples, and we'll see right away why seventh grade is a good time to bring this up. So we have the word like, well known to all of us. And when it's a verb, it's very well taken up by people. I like Waldorf teaching. I like my class. I like my colleagues. No, I love my colleagues. I like some of my colleagues more than I may like others. So we understand that verb, no problem. But it's also a connective word. And that's where we run into some of the incredible difficulties and, alas, speech deterioration, if not outright degeneration, in our time. Like I said, there aren't enough Waldorf schools yet in the world. No. As I said, there need to be more Waldorf schools in the world. Like is not a substitute for as. You need to use as when a subject and verb are coming up. Like is a preposition, and it can only be used to introduce a phrase. As, in this situation, is a conjunction. And it's a conjunction which introduces a clause. So here we go. We've got the preposition and its phrase. We've got the conjunction and the clause. Now, perhaps you haven't begun working with clauses yet. This is a good time to bring them up. Next year, we'll want to look a lot in eighth grade at independent and dependent clauses, another set of relationships, and the prepositions, in a way, flow into all relationships in language. We'll look at some specific examples about the word like and the word as in the next lecture.